return back to you and find your joy on this day for your glory. I pray it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. All right, you guys may be seated. Well, we've been going through a sermon series called How to Have a Relationship with God, Part 2. And we started last week talking about, you know, when we want to have a relationship with God, we want to make sure that not only do we know and discover who our God is, but then we also want to respond to our God. And last week we started off by talking about how we need to love the Lord, our God, with all of our heart and soul and strength. Now, I want to share with you. Well, I'll hold off. Why don't we just turn to our Bibles first? The title for today's sermon is "It's Not Because of You," and we're going to look at Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses 6 to 11. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses 6 to 11. If you have one of these Bibles from the outside, we're looking at page 152. All right, once again, Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses 6 through 11. This is the reading of God's word. "For you are a people holy to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for his treasured possession out of all the peoples who are on the face of the earth. It was not because you were more in number than any other people that the Lord set his love on you and chose you, for you were the fewest of all peoples. But it is because the Lord loves you and is keeping the oath that he swore to your fathers, that the Lord has brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of slavery, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know therefore that the Lord your God is God, the faithful God, who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love him and keep his commandments to a thousand generations, and repays to their face those who hate him by destroying them. He will not be slack with one who hates him. He will repay him to his face. You shall therefore be careful to do the commandment and the statutes and the rules that I command you today." Amen. Once again, we've been going through this sermon series called How to Have a Relationship with God, and we're talking about how we need to love the Lord our God. Now, as we seek to love the Lord our God, there may be times that you may feel that I find it hard to love God because I don't feel loved enough. And you might also struggle maybe with a similar struggle that I have. Maybe not all of you, but maybe some of you have a similar struggle that I have. Sometimes I feel loved when I hear words of affirmation. I feel loved when other people recognize the good things that I do. I feel loved when people see something in me that I may not be able to see. I feel moved when I watch movies where they display this type of idea. For example, recently I rewatched the movie called Minari. And some of you guys know about this movie, some of you guys don't. And I guess if you pronounce it in English, it would be Minari, something like that. But in Korean, it's pronounced Minari. And it's about a Korean-American family that's growing up and trying to live out their lives in the Midwest in America. And there's a moment where the young kid, his name is David, and he has a bad heart. And so the parents are always worried about his bad heart. And they're saying, don't run around, make sure you pace yourself. But then this grandma comes, and this grandma is from Korea, and the grandma is just kind of a very interesting grandma. And there's a scene where where the boy is kind of sad about his heart. And he says, I can't run because of my heart. And the grandma looks at the boy and says, you're not weak. You're a strong boy. You're strong. And I remember watching that part and feeling a little emotional. Because it's like, I want to hear those types of words. I want to be acknowledged in that kind of way. I want people to speak words of like, of strength and encouragement into my life. I want to hear that kind of stuff. Perhaps you also want to hear those types of words like, you know what? I'm really proud of you. I'm really glad to see how you've really worked through that challenge. Wow. You were really able to really shine in that difficult place. Wow, you really are such a good person. Maybe some of you guys, you also want to hear words like this. And you know what society tells us is, society tells us, you know, build up your self-confidence. You know, even if other people aren't telling you these types of words, build up your self-confidence and begin to believe that nothing is impossible for you. Just cover up that I am. Or maybe they shouldn't cover it up and they should say, I am possible. I don't know. Right? Nothing is impossible for you. Build up your self-esteem. Build up your self-confidence. But you know what? What the Bible tells us is that, you know, it's not because of you. It's not because of you that I show my love to you. Because the Bible tells us, in fact, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. You have missed the mark. You're not able to live up to God's standard. But still our hearts are crying out, can I have some credit? Why can't I be encouraged by people's compliments? Well, our main idea for today is appreciate that the Lord, your faithful God, has chosen you. Not because of you. And our second point will be, is it because of you? Because of you? And our third point is because of Christ. Once again, our main idea for today is appreciate that the Lord, your faithful God, has chosen you. And the three points that we'll be going through are number one, not because of you. Number two, because of you, and number three, because of Christ. As we look at today's passage today, we want to go through each verse a little bit slowly and discover what is this passage talking about? And why am I saying that it's not because of you? It goes against what society says. Society says, build up your self-confidence. Discover who you are. There's a hero inside of you. That's what society says, but the Bible says it's not because of you. And so let's look at what the Bible says. In verse 6, it says, for you are a people holy to the Lord your God. The idea basically here is that God is saying that you are different from everyone else in this world. You are different. And the reason is because it says the Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for his treasured possession out of all the peoples who are on the face of the earth. So God is saying, look, I have chosen you and you are different from all other peoples that are out there. You are God's treasured possession. You are holy, meaning that you are different from everyone else. But the next verse goes on to say, it's not because you were more in number than any other people that the Lord set his love on you. It's not because you are so much greater in some kind of way. Not because you had more people. Not because you were a mightier army. Not because you had some quality in you. It's not because of this that the Lord set his love on you and chose you for you actually were the fewest of all people. And it goes on to say, but it is because, it's not because of you, but it is because the Lord loves you and is keeping his keeping the oath that he swore to your fathers, that the Lord has brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of slavery, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Basically, what he's saying here is, look, it's not because of any quality that you have. It's because of me, God is saying. It's because I loved you and I'm keeping my promise to your forefathers. I'm keeping my promise. And you know what? Because I am keeping my promise, I've done amazing things in your life. I brought the people out of Egypt and I've rescued them, God is saying. And God says this to the people of Israel at that time. And it goes on to say this, know therefore, and this is related to our main idea, know therefore that the Lord your God is God, the faithful God who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. And as I was reading this and I was studying this, it reminded me of another passage. And I was able to be reminded of it because this was a passage that I remembered because I memorized it. And I just want to remind you guys of something that I mentioned last week. Last week I said, hey, I really encourage you guys to memorize scripture. And I even give a challenge. If you guys are willing to take the challenge, then I have a list of scripture passages that if you memorize all these verses, I said that Pastor Nansen will buy you a meal. But I said that if you do actually memorize all of those passages, I will take you out for a meal. And so anyways, as I was reading this passage and I was studying Deuteronomy 7, it reminded me of a passage. And I was thinking, you know, God kept his promise. And God was saying to the people of Israel at that time, I love you because I chose you. It's not because you are great in number. It's not because you have some kind of quality in you. But it's because I love you and I was keeping my promise to your forefathers. And it reminded me of this passage. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, it says, for by grace you have been saved. Just like the people of Israel were saved out of Egypt. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It's not because of anything that you've done. It's the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. So God says, it's not because of you. But you know what? Even if God says this, it's still the case, isn't it? That many times in our lives, we still want to hear those words of affirmation. We still want to be acknowledged. We still want to be recognized. We want people to see that I do have something to offer to this world. And so we come to our second point. Because of you? You know, as we think about this idea, one of the reasons, out of many potential reasons, but one of the reasons why people quit serving at a church, or the reason why people quit a company and they leave that company and go somewhere else, or why some people quit their relationships and they end up leaving their boyfriend or girlfriend, or maybe they end up even leaving their marriage. One of the reasons is because people don't feel appreciated. They feel like they don't receive the proper credit. And they want to hear words like, yes, it was because of you that our company has succeeded. Yes, it was because of you, because you were such a wonderful father, that our family is provided for. We want to hear things like, yes, it is because of you, wife, my dear wife, that our family is just so wonderful and provided for, and we feel the love in our family. It's because of you and all of your sacrifices. We want to hear these types of words. And so we might ask, is this a bad thing to have this desire? Like if God says it's not because of you, should we not have this kind of desire? Well, like I said, the world tells us, build up your self-confidence and keep telling yourself that you matter, that you are so good. You have something to offer this world. That's what the world keeps telling us. You matter. Build up your self-confidence. Build up your self-esteem. But what if the world's message is actually not God's message? What if the world is teaching us and telling us these things that are actually lies, that will actually make our lives worse? Well, interestingly, in the beginning of chapter 7, the Bible actually tells, or God tells the people of Israel, go and destroy all the people that are in the land. Go into the promised land and destroy all the peoples that are there. And it lists out all the different peoples. It lists out the Hittites and Girgashites and Amorites and Canaanites and Perizzites, Hivites and the Jebusites. Go and wipe them out. It says, and when the Lord your God gives them over to you and you defeat them, and then you must devote them to complete destruction. You shall make no covenant with them and show no mercy to them. And it goes on to say, you shall not intermarry with them, giving your daughters to their sons or taking their daughters for your sons, for they would turn away your sons from following me to serve other gods. Then the anger of the Lord would be kindled against you and he would destroy you quickly. But thus shall you deal with them. You shall break down their altars and dash in pieces their pillars and chop down their asherim and burn their carved images with fire. And we hear these types of words from the Bible and we think, man, God is such an angry God. Man, why is he so like this? Some of us, we might hear this kind of stuff and we think, man, this is the reason why I don't like Christianity. Or this is the reason why I don't want to continue to believe in Christianity. Because I just don't get why God would say something like this. Well, this is a big topic, and we don't have a lot of time today to go into all the details of trying to explain what's going on in this passage. But let me briefly explain. God actually mentions that if you allow some of these people to go on living around you, they are going to corrupt your thinking. Now let me explain a little bit more. It's not that there are these innocent people that are in the land and God says, go and destroy these innocent people. It's not like that. Actually, way back in Genesis, God tells the people, you know, let's not go into the promised land yet, because there are some people that are not completely evil. The evil hasn't reached its maximum point yet. It's not time yet to go in and take over. And so let's leave the people be. Let's leave the innocent people. Perhaps there are some people among them that may even come to know the Lord. But then during this time, it was a time that the people were completely evil. There was no way that any of these people would turn to the Lord and where they would turn away from their evil ways. What were they doing during that time? They were one of the most terrible things that they would do during that time is that they would make sacrifices using their own children. And we hear about this kind of stuff, and today we're thinking, how can anyone sacrifice their own child? But for them, that was a normal thing to do. And so what God is saying is that if you allow these people to go on living, if you allow these forms of worship, the Asherah poles and the pillars, if you allow these things to continue to exist in the land, then they will begin to entice you. They will begin to tempt you to go and start to worship those gods, to start to believe in their ideas. And so get rid of all of those things. This is actually a way of preserving you, so that you can continue to see what is good and right. through our passage today that goes against what the world says, through our passage today, God says, you are valuable. But it's not because of anything that you have done. It's not because of how great you were. You are valuable because I chose you. What the Bible is telling us today, what God is telling us today is don't find your value in how other people might praise you. Don't find value in how other people might recognize what's going on in your life. Find value in the fact that God has chosen you and that you are sitting here today somehow through whatever experiences that you experienced in your life, somehow you are sitting here today to hear this message. Through it all, it was actually God that was working in your life so that you could sit here today and hear these words that God has chosen you and you are valuable today because of what God has done in your life. Now, some of you guys might be unbelievers. Some of you might not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want you to think about today, maybe it is because of what God is doing in your life that you're actually able to sit and hear this message today. And the Bible tells us that if you do come to believe in God, believe in Jesus Christ, and trust in what Jesus has done for you, then you can also know that God has chosen you. You are valuable because God has chosen you. But still, even if we hear something like that, even if we hear these words, know therefore that the Lord your God is God and the faithful God who keeps covenant and steadfast love and those who love him with those who love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations and repays to their face those who hate him by destroying them. Even if we hear words like this and we're like, right, I was chosen by God. I'm a believer in Jesus Christ. I'm not one of those that God hates. I know that God loves me. I am valuable. Even if you know this, it's still a struggle for some of you. And I want to say clearly that having this desire to be appreciated, having this desire to be recognized, is not a bad thing. God has given us this desire so that whenever we have this desire, we're like, I really want my parents to just recognize that I am a good enough child. Whenever we have that desire and we're not getting the recognition from the people that we're hoping to get the recognition from, whenever we have that desire, it's a reminder. It's a pointer to say, God is reminding you in that moment, remember, those people will fail in recognizing and appreciating you. But look to me. I have chosen you and I completely recognize what is going on in your heart and I completely appreciate you. I love you so much. Whenever we have those feelings, it's supposed to be kind of a signal that tells us, look back to the Lord. Look back to Jesus and remember that he does love you. Some of us, we do struggle with this desire. And like I said, it's not a bad thing if you have this desire, but this is when it becomes a bad thing. It becomes a bad thing when that desire becomes something that's ultimate for you. Where I would really like for my parents to recognize who I am and what's going on in my life. When that turns into my parents must recognize me and they better appreciate me. Or my boss better see all the work that I've done or else I'm out of here. Some wives may say, Shouldn't a husband be enraptured by the beauty of his wife? Right? Some wives might say this, and the wife might go to the husband and say, be enraptured. You better have a good response, or else, husband, right? And the husband might be like, I better give a good response, or else. Right? That desire turns into a must. You better give this to me. You better recognize me. Or shouldn't a wife be so grateful? This is from a husband's perspective. Be so grateful for having such a hardworking husband. And some of you wives might be thinking, my husband's not hardworking. The husband says, look at all I've done. I go to work. I make money. I'm trying to make things work for our family. I do so much for the kids. Don't you see that? Why can't you be grateful? And that desire to be recognized and appreciated turns into a, you better do this. Otherwise, I just feel like there's no hope in our marriage. And we bring this idea of just wanting and we turn it into a must. We bring this idea into our friendships, into our relationships with our parents, with our children, with our spouses, with our bosses, with our coworkers. We bring this everywhere. And what ends up happening is that relationships begin to fall apart. People begin to feel pressure from you. People begin to not want to be close to you. And you just feel so lonely, and just things just fall apart in this world because a lot of times people turn this idea of wanting into a must. People better recognize me. People better appreciate me. And sometimes what we do is we say, well, if no one's going to appreciate me, if no one's going to recognize me, forget it. I don't care about them, even though you really do. I don't care about them. I could be confident myself. I am more valuable. I don't care what people say. And people say, believe in yourself. Have self-confidence. That's what people say. But deep in our hearts, there's still that desire. I want to be recognized. I want to be appreciated. I want people to express their thanks to me. And isn't it the case that in the same breath, while we're saying, I want, I have to have, isn't it the case that in the same breath we're also saying, I'm not satisfied with how God appreciates me. I don't care about what God thinks of me. In fact, it's not such a big deal that God loves me. And when we reject his love like that, we begin to look to these other things that we must have. Sometimes we even act Christian and we ask God to give me this thing that I must have. And we just kind of ask God like a vending machine. God, you say you're a good God, right? You better give this thing to me. Otherwise, I'm going to doubt you, God. And we even look to God in that kind of way. When we do that, we actually end up blaming God and say, it's because of you. You say, it's not because of me. Well, it is because of you. You're not giving me what I want. I just feel so lonely. You're not answering my prayers. Where are you, God? And some of us, we might not even say those words, but in our hearts, we're feeling so hurt and we're doubting and we're wondering, where is God in my life? And when we do that, we do say to God, it's because of you. You're the problem. And by the way, as I was preparing for this sermon, I kept hearing the song by Kelly Clarkson. You guys know? Because of you. And actually, the song is about how she's blaming her dad for all the problems that she's facing today. And in the same way, we do the same thing. We blame God and we say, it's because of you that I'm suffering today. You're supposed to be a good God. Where are you? Why aren't you answering my prayers? Where are you? And what we end up saying is that I don't want you. And to God, what that means is I hate you. Verse 10 says, God repays to their face those who hate him by destroying them. He will not be slack with one who hates him. He will repay him to his face. It's a good thing that if you are a Christian, if you have your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, it's a good thing that in this passage God has already said, know, therefore, that the Lord your God is God, the faithful God, who keeps his covenant, who keeps covenant with and steadfast love with those who love him, and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. How does God continue to love us even though we might be betraying God and hating God? How does God continue to give his love to us? We come to our third point. Appreciate that the Lord, your faithful God, has chosen you because of Jesus Christ. Our God is a faithful God, and he will keep his covenant because of what Jesus Christ has accomplished. This is what it says in Romans 5:8. It says, but God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, while we were still hating God and saying, I don't care about your love for me, while we were still sinners, he demonstrated, he showed his love to us through Jesus Christ, who died for us. And Jesus was willing to die for us in that way. Even though the people during that time were spitting in his face, were beating him and saying, we hate you. Who do you think you are? You think you're God? And they were doing this and with our action, with our words, with our thoughts of saying, I don't care about your love. We do the same action to Jesus Christ. And even though we were treating him in this way while we're still sinners, Jesus Christ was willing. Even though he was not receiving the appreciation for what he was doing, even though he was not feeling the recognition, he wasn't being recognized for what he was doing, but still he was willing to go and die and sacrifice himself to demonstrate his love for you. To be able to keep his love for you, to keep the covenant. He was willing to take on all of your sin, all of the way that you betrayed God, all of the ways that you hated God. He was willing to take that upon himself and receive all the blame. He became sin for our sake. He made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. You see, what Jesus Christ did was that he was willing to take on the punishment that you should have received. Remember, God said he will repay all those who hate him. And we were saying, we hate you, God. But then Jesus Christ said, you know how you hated God? I'm going to take that upon myself and I will be completely destroyed by the Father. I will take that punishment for your sake so that you can live. And instead, you know what we receive? We receive Jesus' perfect record. We receive his righteousness. We receive all his goodness. Ephesians 2, 4 to 5 says this. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, in our sins, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. It's not because of anything that you have done, but it's all because of how God has chosen you and how he is the faithful God. And so because of this wonderful truth, I want to share with all of you today, whether you are a Christian or not, the fact is we will fall into sin. I fall into this sin. There are times that I demand people to appreciate me. I demand my children, my wife, to recognize all the good, quote unquote, all the good that I have done. I still fall into this. But I want to let all of you know, God's love still remains for you. You don't have to be afraid of an angry God. God has chosen you and he is the faithful God. And if you are an unbeliever, perhaps today could be the first time where you say, I trust that this is true. And I want to receive your love today. And because of what God has done for us, because of what Jesus has done for us, we don't have to have self-confidence. We can know that we matter because Christ chose us and we can have confidence in him. We can have Christ confidence. You know, there's a story in the New Testament about a son. Many of you guys may know this story already. A son who wanted to leave his dad, and he demanded from his dad all of his inheritance. And basically the son's meaning, what he's intending to say, is that, Dad, I want you to die. I don't really care about you. I want you to die so that I can get what belongs to me. I want my inheritance. And so the son makes that statement. The dad very graciously gives the inheritance to his son, his portion, and the son runs away. And the son spends all his money, and he becomes like a servant, and he's eating terrible food, animal food, and he thinks to himself, and this is what it says in Luke chapter 15, but when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but I perish here with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants. He came to the point where he was like, I'm worth nothing. I recognize that. And he was thinking, I'm going to go to my dad and I'm going to just tell him, just treat me like one of your hired servants, and that will be enough. That will be enough for me. I don't need you to treat me like a son anymore, because I know that I've treated you horribly. Just treat me as one of your servants, and that will be enough for me. There was a song that was written many years ago, and I listened to this song over and over about 25 years ago. I would listen to this song over and over, and it was about that story from Luke. And in the song, they slowed down that scene. They slowed down that scene and recounted what that scene was like. And this is what it says. It says, and I'm still amazed when I think about the day that I returned, blinded by my own addictions and grief, I began my journey expecting rejection, but secretly hoping for mercy. And while I was still a ways off, rehearsing my lines, my faithful Father, you saw me and you ran to me. And I began to speak and I said, Father, I've been unfaithful and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. And the Father responds, welcome home, my son. I've been waiting for you. I am faithful and I will always be your faithful Father. And so with that, the song goes on to say, this is my song of praise to you, God, for who you are and all that you do. From the moment my life began, even from before the world began, you have been faithful to me. Brothers and sisters, friends, when you face times when you feel not appreciated or recognized, think. This feeling of wanting to be recognized and appreciated reminds me of how much the world fails to do that for me. And it points me back to Jesus. And it leads me to remember, it's okay, because Jesus' goodness is in me. And I'm fully appreciated and fully recognized by my God because of Jesus in me. So then what it comes to is that I don't have to demand recognition and appreciation by others. I don't have to. It's okay. And what it allows me to do is that it allows me to take my eyes off of myself and what my needs are, and I can actually go and begin to appreciate and recognize others and show them God's love in that way. So brothers and sisters, friends, know that the Lord, your faithful God, has chosen you, not because of you, but because of Jesus. And so praise the Lord today and appreciate our Lord today. Let's take time to pray. Take a moment now, just for a few minutes, just to go before the Lord and perhaps take this time to pray. Maybe pray even for the first time. But take this time to pray, and whatever the Lord is laying on your heart, whatever you're feeling right now, whatever you feel like you need to say or you want to say to God, take this time right now to say it to the Lord. It might be a prayer of, forgive me, I've been away from you, and I want to come back to you. I've been unfaithful, but I know that you are faithful to me. You have chosen me, and you love me. Maybe that's your prayer. Or maybe your prayer is, I want to know you more. I heard about how you are a faithful God. I want to know you. Teach me who you are all the more. Help me to learn about more who you are. Whatever your prayer might be, take this time just to reflect and pray. Let's do that now.